Mice are contributed to the Elias and Neshama of Shmuel Ben Rapinchas HaKohen. Helig and Neshama should have a tremendous Ali and Ganein and Shomai Lamechoya Lachoya Lamech Hashem. Baruch Ato Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakoli Yabitra.
Amen.
This past week's Parsha, Parsha's Vayera, we witnessed the transition from the Etzba Elohimi to the Yad Hashem. We had towards the beginning of the Parsha regarding Makas Kinim, that when finally there arrived the Makim, we discussed in the past why in the world would a Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol, if he's deciding to only give 10 plagues to Mitzrayim, why give them things that the Chartumei Paro, their own magicians, their necromancers themselves can duplicate? Kadosh Baruch Hu, you're coming up with 10. And we know the magical number 10 is the Maral and the Chidush Yerim and others explain or Keneged, corresponds to the Asora Mamoris Nivra Olam, corresponds to the Asora Sedibris, Rav Gedalia Yeshor and others have an Arichus explaining the interconnections between the plagues and the Mamoris that brought the very world into existence. So you're picking 10. Why pick 2 Damans Fardea that they themselves could do? It doesn't make any sense. Come up with any 10 original Makis. So that's something we discussed in the past, what Hashem's intention was. But Lamaisa, once we make it past Damans Fardea, and then we get to Makis Kinim, then finally the Chartume wake up. In the end of the day, they recognize that it is Dafka. It's not al yadik shofin. Parenthetically, we mentioned in the past, perhaps it's just worth tachazer, that kinim spelled chof nun yun mem, the only other time in the Torah we see such a lashon is going back to the brothers of Yosef when they descended first to Mitzrayim. They said, kinim anachnu, when Rashi says, what's kinim anachnu? Lashon kain, lashon emes, lashon dvar mamitiim. We're here to speak the truth. We're not lying to you. So why in the world would we have a plague that is called the plague of truth? Kinim, spelled the exact same way in the lashon amikra, the chof nun yud mem. So perhaps one can suggest that this is the first emes dekamaka. What does that mean? Why couldn't they duplicate it? They were masters in kishif and sorcery and witchcraft and black magic. Why couldn't they duplicate it? So Rashi says, because this bria, this lice, these vermin were pochus mikisora. They were smaller than a little barley kernel. Mamela kishif cannot be sholed on something that's so small. So they had no powers extended over these lice, over these vermin. Which means what? The very nature of kishif, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, is because it's machashven pamal yishma, contradicts the way Hashem set up the Bria, and it's allowing through the usage, the utilization of the kochas atuma to manipulate and control the chelik of the Bria. But if this creature is so small, kishif can control it, that means that the kochas atuma, the kochas of sheker, have no shlita, can exercise no sovereignty whatsoever over this Bria. And Mela, this Bria is a Bria of MS. This is Makas Kinim, Dvorim Amiti, and it's a Mak of MS because the Kochas of Sheker can't be sholate over such a Bria. I'm sure Hashem is already being Marames. That's why it's called Makas Kinim. And what happens? This is the first time they recognize that they see the hand of Hashem. But notice it doesn't say they see the hand of Hashem. All they see is what? Is the finger. And now when you're displaying your hand, the first thing you're going to notice is someone's going to see the edge of a finger. So right now, they certainly don't see Hashem's Zroa Chanatuya. They don't see the whole Zroa, the outstretched arm. They don't even see the Yad. All they witness right now metaphorically is what? Etzba. I see the little Etzba. Michelangelo, Sistine Chapel, little Etzba. Association, right? Also, I see a glimpse. I'm getting a glimpse, Kilu. Kaviyochel Hashem is revealing himself to a certain degree. Sedavka Yidei Makas Kinim, when the Chartumei Paro can't duplicate it, they can't copy this mock-up. And now all of a sudden they agree in unison that it's Etzba Elokim, it's all HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing it, but still they only readily admit that what we see here is an Etzba. Interesting. We did point out as well in the past that Avram Shalom Yehuda, a Jewish historian, points out in a Sefer Eivar Va'ara, and Rav Yaakov Sin, Yisocha Yaakov Sin, Abina Mikra, expounds on this idea that every one of the plagues simultaneously was addressing the gods and the society as well. We have a pasuk later on in Parshas Po, Perek Yud Beis, pasuk Yud Beis. We talk about it in Algodosh of Pesach. Havacholo hei Mitzrayim eseh shvatim ani Hashem. And halo agondol, uvelo heihem eseh shvatim. Hashem carried out judgment. He meted punishment to not only targeting the Egyptian people, but targeting their gods as well. We discussed in the past, where exactly do we see that their gods and their intricate polytheistic system of belief, where do they see that the gods were targeted? Either way, the Ramban says, well, it must be that they were addressed, but we don't have the psukim speak it out. But in various ways, we do see the manifestation of how their gods were adversely affected, really simultaneously with the Egyptian people themselves. Just one example is Makas Kinim. Anyone who knows ancient Egyptian history, they were machshiv, they revered their priests. That's why we know Moshe Rabbeinu was able to secure that there would be a break for Sheva Levi. They wouldn't have to be metapol in the Avodah. They weren't part and parcel of the Shibud. Why? Because Moshe told Paro, what do you mean? You're machshiv kohanim, the same way you're machshiv, you're priest. So do you have to be machshiv? You have to attach a tremendous importance, and you have to revere the Jewish priest as well. That means you're being mashabi, then you're avodim. You own them, you control them, and you what? Oh, no problem. You can take Sheva Levi and have them isolated. They don't have to participate in the avodim. One of the two reasons Ramban says why they were the fewest in number, because they weren't in the inoy. Kasher ya'anu also ken yibra v'chen yifos. They weren't included in the shibun. In the inoy of Mitzrayim and Mela, they weren't zeichet to the subsequent bracha of Kein Yibra v'Kein Yibra, so they remained only 22,000 in number. But here you see such a chashiv as the priest. They worship the priest, and in ancient Egyptian writings we find that the priests who sacrificed to their deep system of polytheism, all the gods, they first mandated that the priest would shave off every single hair on their body. Not only would they have to shave off all their hair on their body, and there are pictures of Egyptian priests where they're completely bald, but it's not only on the top of the head. Every hair in the body had to be shaved. Every hair on the body of all the animals that would be offered as sacrifices would be shaved. Why? Because they were mamish OCD to the nth degree. They were what? You can't have any bugs. It was total hygiene. It has to be clean as can be. No lice in our temples. No lice anywhere. The only way to ensure, to guarantee that there'll be no lice, is you have to shave off every hair in the body of the animals and of the Egyptian priests doing the sacrifices. So what is stuch to the mitzvah, right? Avram Shlomo Yehuda writes, Yisach Yaakov said, here you can have a makkah where they're going in to serve their gods, even b'shas the makkah, and they can't serve their gods because one of the prerequisites is that you can't have any lice on you. And here all the animals are infested with lice, even though they shaved off every hair. It was a nes v'toch nes. Where are the lice residing? There are no hairs in the body of the Egyptian priests nor of the animals themselves. And afilu hachi, still the lice infested them. What a shtoch, even at the same time that they're getting the receiving the plague, and they're going into the temples perhaps to worship and to pray to their false gods, at that same moment they can't offer any sacrifices to their gods because all the animal sacrifices are filled with lice and vermin, and the Egyptian priests themselves are filled with lice and vermin. So you see the contrast. It's mamish etz melokim. We see that it's the Jewish God who controls everything in Teva. Even when we want to worship our gods, they're disallowed from doing so because they're all infested with lice. So this is now the first revelation. It's a bria of MS. It's not kochus of shek or kish of black magic sorcery. So it's now etz melokim. They're now seeing, but they're only getting a glimpse. When do we finally transition? It's a very impressive makkah, makkas orov, and that follows in the heels of Kinim. And certainly, we have other makkas as well that were very impressive in the first five. And yet, it's only when we get to makkas devar to number five. There's the first time we find what? Hinei Yad Hashem Hoya b'miknecha. We find it's the Yad Hashem. That means we're transitioning from Etz Elokim to now the Yad Hashem. They're recognizing. We'll have it later in Barod when they get Komage Fosai. They get plague number 7. Then it'll be Hashem Atzadik Vaniva Ami Arishoyim. Then it'll be Hashem. So we transition now not only from Elokim to Hashem, but it's Yad Hashem. They're seeing the Yad Hashem, not merely the Etzpa. That means now they're seeing the full hand. The full hand, they're seeing a whole new level, an entirely new Madriga of the Shechina now in this world. Not only that, Yad Hashem Hoya B'miknecha. Hoya Osios Havaya. You have right after Yad Hashem Hoya B'miknecha Osios Havaya Kilu. Hashem is now really revealing himself, and he attacks what? He attacks five species. This didn't affect every single animal. It affected, as the Pasuk makes clear, and the Rishonim emphasized, it targeted specific groups. Susim, Chamorim, Gemolim, Abakar, and so on. There were five groups. I'm sure very understandable it's five groups, because now it's to recognize there's not just an Etz Elokim, there's a Yad Hashem, five fingers in the Yad, Yad Hashem Hoya B'miknecha, and now they would see it's not going to affect every single Bria. If there's a plague that affects every single Chelik of the Bria, then you could dismiss it to mere coincidence, or some freak accident in Mother Nature, that every animal now is dying. But it's not every animal. Not only would there be a distinction clearly drawn between Lo Yavash V'Kol L'Bnei Yisrael Davar, nobody will lose any of the sheep, the cattle, the livestock, where they got it from. That's a question that Chaim and others discuss, where they got their own cattle from, but that wouldn't be tough. But more than that, you see clearly it's the Yad Hashem, targeting five specific groups of animals, and no other groups of animals. So clearly this isn't a plague affecting everything. It's targeting groups. Clearly there's HaKadosh Baruch Hu now who is controlling every chelik of the Bria. So this is now the Yad Hashem. That's where Rabbeinu Avraham and Rambam writes in his Perush Geulas Mitzrayim on the Haggadah. He writes that Zu Giloy Shechina, that's Makas Dever. Makas Dever, Zu Giloy Shechina. There's a new level of Giloy, a new level of Hashem revealing himself. Dafka Makas Dever, a new level where it's not Stam, the Etzpa. We see a little bit of Etzpa Lokim. Now it's transitioning to Yad Hashem. We see a whole hand, we see a hand, five fingers addressing five groups at the same time. Efshar, that's part of the Remez, that it's Yadcha. We see Hashem. Now why would it have to be a new level? Because Rashi tells us, based on the Midrash Rabbah, there are 10 plagues, but they're broken up into two groups. Besides Rav Yehuda and the Haggadah of the Tzachadash Be'achav, we have the first five were Paro hard in his own heart, and then the last five were Hashem Kaviyachol intervened. That means that plague number five is by definition the transitional plague, where this is Paro's last opportunity, the Haino, the last of the first five, where he's able to go ahead and give in and admit it himself, and he doesn't. That means it has to be some new level of that he's impressed, that he sees the Yad Hashem so clearly that it's the last opportunity provided to Paro where he can perhaps agree and that it's all Hashem HaTzidik V'Aniv V'Aniv Amir Hashem. So what did he see? What is unique among his Deborah? Yes, Hashem's controlling the Bria. Aman Hashem showed us in Dam Tzvadei Akinim and Arov that he's also controlling the Bria. So what new level did he see? So perhaps the idea is as follows. Every other plague until now dealt with something that was visible, that was there, that was real in their world, in their society. And Hashem merely manipulated it. There was water, and there was blood. Now Hashem turned the water into blood. There were frogs. Now Hashem got all the frogs in the world, gathered together, according to Elohim and Azariah, according to Rabbi Akiva. They hit it, they split. At the end of the day, all the frogs in their kingdom, there are lice. Now there are a lot of lice. Now there are lice all over the place. So you have Shechin, Deber Shechin. I'm sorry, before you get to Arov, Makis Arov, then you have the wild animals. They're animals all over the place. Now you're bringing them together. Makis Dibra is a new revelation. Zugilo Shechina, why? Because over here, there's nothing to manipulate. And the end of the day, what happens? They just drop dead. When animals just drop dead, and it's specifically targeted animals that just drop dead, who's doing it? Who's doing it? What's causing it over here? If there's a plague, we had earlier this year, tons of bees. Millions of bees were dying. So the bees were dying. And then their periods, cows are dying and chickens are dying. But it's always one group at a time. Or if it's affecting all the animals, then it's all the animals in a certain region, in a certain area in the world that are all dying. Over here now you have what? Specific areas of animals, and they're dying. Who's doing it? This is Yad Hashem. What's the plague called? Dever. Why? This is Hashem being Medaber. Hashem is speaking to Paro. Before that he didn't speak any time. This is clearly a new revelation where there's nothing to be meyaches to, nothing to attribute it to, but the Yad Hashem. Who is doing it? Who's controlling it? The animals are just dropping dead. And if you think about it, this is the end of the first five. Makis Machoris, which often is coupled with Dever. Dever v'cherev, we see it in Nishmas, we see it all throughout Davening. Dever v'cherev. Cherev, the Barbanel says, it's Makis Machoris. When they went around, the Malcham Ovis used his sword to kill, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachim and Makis Machoris killed them. And they went around with the sword, killing one another. Going Meshuggah. Dever v'cherev, the last of the five, is Dever. That's really Makas Bechoros to animals. What is Makas Bechoros? The same thing as Dever was to animals. This is a plague that's targeting a specific group of people, the firstborn, and having them just drop dead with nothing to attribute it to in science, in scientific terms. There's nothing going on here. It's what? It's something that clearly shows God speaking to us. Hence, it's called Dever. Perhaps Devar Hashem. This is the Devar Hashem. This is Yad Hashem. Hoya B'miknecha. We're seeing the hand of Hashem now speak to us. clearly show there's no one else doing it. The five fingers of the Yad, now controlling the Yana Chazaka, which will make its way eventually into the Zeruah Chanutuya, Amakis Deber clearly representing that transitional plague, wherein Hashem is speaking and revealing himself, Zuhilo Shechina, and by showing that no one can be controlling these animals but me. And now it's time for the Mitzvah to wake up. But of course they don't, and the story continues. We continue with Makkah number 8. Amir Hashem this week in Parashas Bo. Have a great night. Reminder, Rabbi Neuberger in the basement, Hashem Maseches Megillah, 8:15 to 9 o'clock tonight, followed by Ali Shor, Rav Volba, Ali Shor, here in the basement.